joining us live in studio, NBA reporter for The Athletic, Kelly Eco, does it better than anybody else. Kelly, thanks for joining us first and foremost. All I'm reading about is Mikal Bridges, whether it was in the middle of the year before the trade deadline, whether it's with the number three pick. Memphis is somehow involved, I saw it today reading your stuff. What is going on with Mikal Bridges, and what is the Rockets' interest in him?
So, concerning Mikal, this was a thing that started, you know, a few months back, you know, around the trade deadline when before the Rockets went on that crazy stretch of games to kind of climb back into the playoff picture. And he's always been seen as this kind of guy that's, you know, a two-way guy, can help add to a core that's already in place. I do think some of the stuff coming out is not exaggerated, but I think their overall interest in Mikal isn't as strong as it was probably in February, just because of how they were able to improve their standings and kind of see that, okay, can we go out and get a star? Can we go out and get an actual legit contributor to this piece going forward, as opposed to, you know, a Bridges who is still a very good player, but who might not be the guy that you're looking for if you're going to go from phase two to phase three, if that makes sense.
I know you know a lot of people, and I'm curious about this because we've bantered about it here on the show as well. There's names being thrown out. Jeremy mentions Bridges. We've heard about, you know, other guys from Donovan Mitchell. We've heard about Jimmy Butler in the recent days. And then we start talking about, from an organizational standpoint internally, where are they with this? Would they consider those guys? Are any of those guys on the table, guys that they would want to pursue? Or are they going to steadfast to their phases but say, hey, I like this young group that we have enough that I don't want to trade a lot of pieces to break that up, to bring in a 30-something or a superstar-type guy? And even to go further than that, Udoka seems to be a guy that is maybe more hell-bent on getting a veteran, whereas maybe Rafael is leaning more towards staying the course with the youth.
So, you know, going back to the Udoka thing, I think his voice, it carries in his organization, right? And he wants veterans. He wants older guys that are ready to help right now. The thing about Donovan Mitchell, he's a guy that they've been looking at for a very long time because the age lines up, the talent lines up. And he's a guy that if he comes into your roster with an Alperen Şengün, with Jalen Green, or whoever is in that core, he then takes them to another level. You know, obviously ownership, they want to get back to how it was when they first got here, which was the Western Conference Finals, being deep in the playoff runs. This whole thing about phase one, phase two, it has an expiration date, right? So at some point, this team wants to get back to winning ways. And, you know, finishing the year 41-41 is good. But if someone like a Donovan is available, then you go all guns a-blazing and try and get that guy, especially seeing how in Cleveland right now, it's kind of, you know, uneasy with Darius Garland. You know, they just fired head coach J.B. Bickerstaff, and now the extension talks with Donovan Mitchell. So, you know, everything's on the table at this point for Houston, and I think they have enough assets on the table, enough draft picks, you know, from the future, enough young players to make those kind of things, you know, plausible.
How far would they be willing to go? Like, what is the most they would give up for a Donovan Mitchell?
That's a good question. Honestly, I think if you're going to add the number three pick and maybe, you know, future picks, I think as far as players of that core six, maybe two. Now, the problem is a guy like Donovan Mitchell, does he command more than, you know, two A-level prospects of young players? But, you know, if you have, like, those guys on the table, they're all 23 or younger. You know, they all have shown that they can contribute to winning basketball in different capacities. Now, if you're looking at having to sacrifice a couple of those, I think if the end goal was getting to the playoffs and getting deep into the playoffs, you make that move.
And the curiosity for me also goes all the way up to the owner. How involved is he? How much does he command winning? Because he's made comments like that in the past. And then with that, when you're looking at it, is he interjecting the way Les Alexander used to inject into every conversation of what I want, as opposed to hearing Udoka, who also may want to chase his old players, Marcus Smart, Robert Williams, guys like that.
So it's funny because, you know, prior to Ime getting hired, you know, the talks that he had with Tilma Fertitta and ownership, there's a certain level of synergy that's there where they let Udoka kind of run his program, you know, different ways than, you know, Stephen Silas did.
Right.
So now just seeing how the team is constructed in his image, defensively, versatile, athletic, this is Ime's team. This is Ime's program. So in a lot of ways, however Ime wants to see it fit going forward, it's pretty much how it might be going forward, right? So, like, obviously there's going to be conversations and, you know, this isn't like a dictatorship. There's still Rafael, you know, ownership, you know, whatever you want to call it, front office, the brass. But Ime's voice carries a lot. And that was probably the biggest offseason change that they had going back to last summer. Because you obviously you bring in Fred, you bring in Dylan. But in bringing Ime, the culture kind of changed where guys couldn't do certain things and get away with it. Mm-hmm. And he demanded that respect. He demanded accountability. He demanded structure. And to his point, to his credit, they won almost 20 more games than the year prior. So you kind of have to let him cook, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, the change in the culture has been for the better, and right. I think everybody loves the direction that the Rockets are going in. Kelly Eco joining us, HRMP guest line in person, though, covers the Rockets and darn near half the league for The Athletic. Where do they stand with Jalen Green? Where are they with the budding superstar? And maybe that's going too far.
So, you know with Jalen, just given the last month of the year that he had, he kind of showed what he can do if everything clicks. The problem in the first 3 years has been the frequency of when it all clicks, right? So they know that in Jalen Green, this is a guy that if he is the alpha, if he is an A1, it makes everything so much easier in the trickle-down effects that it has, just from his athleticism, his three-level scoring, just the overall aura he has. The issue with him over the years has been consistency. Getting that on a more consistent basis and, you know, seeing how he can impact the game. Now, at the beginning of the year, he kind of struggled trying to find his footing. You know, Fred had the ball a lot. Alpi, you know, was a breakout star. He had to kind of, you know, figure out where he fit in the system, and that took a while. Now, you're seeing how he caught fire in March, and just he's the biggest reason why they were in that chance to actually make the playoffs because of how he was playing. So, for the Rockets, they want to see, can you do that from October, November? Can you give them a good head start going into the year as opposed to catching fire, you know, at the tail end of it?
That's interesting because of the fact that you talked just about how much Udoka is the loudest room in the voice in the room now. We had a full season of Jalen under Udoka, and what we saw was the roller coaster ride. When he's good, he's really good. But when he's bad, as much as he was a reason why they had a chance down the stretch, he kind of faded again. So at what point, when you know that his camp is going to be chasing a max deal, when you know that that deadline is fast approaching, and they've already seen a full year to realize there's nothing that's been kind of cleared up in terms of what he could be versus is it potential versus the fact that he a guy that maybe never maximizes his potential, and then how long do they ride it before they literally start talking about him in trades again?
So this is that's the big winning question, right? Because, you know, assuming that they don't get a star, you know, obviously the camps of Jalen and Alperen, I'm pretty sure they're going to be asking for extension talks because to their credit, they had enough of a season where you can say, okay, this is what we have going forward. Are you going to commit to us long term? Now, if they're star chasing, that takes a back seat, you know, because from Houston's side, you have to be able to prove it 82 games. Not just, you know, a 1 month period, as great as it was. So now what you have is this kind of, I wouldn't call it awkward, but there's definitely something where you have to come back to it later. You put a pin in it, you come back to it later, but it's something that could rear its head, you know, in a few months time, especially, you know, if you do get a star, you know, who ends up staying. And if you don't, you know, can you pay them both the money that they're looking for? I don't think you can do that. So you're going to have to make some pretty tough choices in a couple of months right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's some sense in, okay, don't extend them, let them play their final year, hit restricted free agency, right, and let the league show you what the market is. But then the danger of that is if you get back the number you're not comfortable with, you lose them for absolutely nothing. What are the percentage of chances, one through 100, that they lock up Alpi Şengün, that they lock up Jalen Green?
Like combined?
Separately, yeah.
Okay, with Alperen, I would say, you mean like this summer?
Yeah.
Oh. 25?
Okay.
For each guy?
I think so.
Oh, 25 for each. So you think that it's level? You think it's equal?
I don't think that they're currently pressed to do it right now.
Yeah.
Because of, like you said, the restricted free agency. they're not in a race against the clock where we have to get something done this summer because X, Y, and Z. I think they've been down this road enough with enough players to say that if it gets uncomfortable, it'll get uncomfortable. But from a flexibility standpoint and from a like a leverage standpoint, they don't have to do anything this summer. So I would be the only way I could see them getting extended this summer is if at the end of the offseason, if they don't get anybody, then they come back and say, okay, let's come to the table.
To Jeremy's point, I would think, and I leave it to you to make the final call on, has Alpe done enough to where he's already proven what he can be? We know his defensive limitations, to where they realize, hey, if you're willing to talk and we can reach kind of a happy medium on the money, that they'd have that conversation. I think with Jalen, it just to me, it just feels like it's still all the balls are up in the air in terms of he's got to show me more.
Yeah, so I think if you're comparing Alperen and Jalen in terms of who has more leverage in contract talks, it's probably Alperen because he is, you know, the offensive hub of that team, if you will. And I think coming into the rebuild, it would have been the other way around, right? Like everyone thought that if Jalen is the superstar, Alperen has to fall in line and stuff like that. And the biggest reason why Jalen struggled was because Alperen took this huge leap. So I think when it comes to who has to prove it more, it's definitely Jalen.
It seems like it's injury versus inconsistency.
Yeah, maybe some defensive liability, like thrown into the mix there too. Do you put any stock in? Because when Jalen took off in March, it wasn't 100% Alpe was gone.
No,
but there was a good amount of games when Jalen took off that Alpe wasn't there. Right. I know that it overlapped right. Like 3 or 4 games, whatever right. It was. But when Jalen Green took off, and a brunt of when he took off, Alpe wasn't on the floor. Do you put any stock in that Jalen was able to take off because Alpe wasn't that focal point offensively, maybe a bit more spacing, stuff like that?
There's some level of that just because, you know, Alperen likes to operate around the elbows. He likes to operate within the restricted area. And Jalen is a guy that's downhill, wants to get to the line, wants to get, you know, transition dunks, all that kind of stuff, three-level score. But I just think that he kind of slowed things down and he allowed the game to come to him more as you trying to force your way and fit in a square peg into a round hole. I think that he kind of he took his approach differently and it finally caught on what Ime and those guys have been telling him in terms of just play your game and let the offense flow within you and not try and fit in, you know, fit out with the offense. So I do think that, you know, he has the game plan of what to do going forward. Now, can he apply it earlier? That's going to be the key to his success.
One more segment with Kelly Eco when we return. If you have questions for Kelly, send them in, 713-780-3776. We'll get to some of the NBA draft stuff. What's the likelihood the Rockets keep the pick? Who are they targeting at the pick? We'll talk a little bit of NBA Finals with Kelly as well. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Y'all, if you haven't joined the club at Texas Star Grill Shop, you're missing out. Head to 975grills.com right now to join, or just mention the club when you go into any of their Houston locations. As a member of the club, you'll enjoy special in-store discounts that can't be found anywhere else. Best products in the outdoor cooking world at Texas Star Grill Shop, and they're giving you prices you won't see anywhere when you join the club. From Traeger to Weber to Napoleon, they have it all. Wood pellet, charcoal, gas, everything. Also, stop falling for the trick of walking into these big box stores. You see a grill at a price you're comfortable with, and you're like, you know what? I'm getting that one. You can't do that. That's not a grill that you want. Shop at Texas Star Grill Shop. Educate yourself in the grill game. If you're going to buy a grill in this town, you want to talk to them first. Even if you don't buy from them, they'd be happy to educate you, get you on the right path. You want to talk to them, even if you don't buy from them. As a member of the club, though, full free installation. Don't have to worry about 100 pieces in assembly. That's always daunting. I hate doing that. A box unloaded on your driveway. Here you go. Here's a big grill. You got to put it together, lug it out to the backyard. Full free assembly and delivery for club members. From start to finish, Texas Star Grill Shop will be there. If you're interested in an outdoor kitchen, 975grills.com. Texas Star Grill Shop, the best in the business when it comes to the outdoor kitchen game. And members will get special pricing on custom outdoor kitchen with free consultation, too. The stuff that they can do is incredible. They are the people you need to talk to for anything in the grill game and the outdoor kitchen game. Join the club, 975grills.com, 975grills.com, for the best barbecue grills at the best price. Kelly Eco covers the NBA, covers the Rockets for The Athletic, joining us in studio. Get some of your questions. NBA draft finals coming up. 9506, Kelly, does a 28-year-old line up with this Rockets build, this Rockets team?
I think so. I think the days of, you know, early in the rebuild, you could say that 19, 20, 21-year-olds is what they wanted to see. It could give them enough minutes and see how they progress. But now, Ime just changed everything. Like, he needs those older guys in the locker room, those real adults in the room where you can command respect and demand accountability. And you see with Fred, who just turned 30, you see with Dylan, you know, getting somebody of that age is kind of where the NBA needs to be to see how, you know, you want to take this thing forward. So, yeah, I think that lines up.
So, from that standpoint, too, you talked about the kind of the core six. How willing would the Rockets be this offseason of trading Brooks and or Van Vliet? And then of the younger guys that you're talking about, of that sub-25, who can you kind of rate or stack? Who would be more likely to go and stay? Amen, Cam, Alpi, Green, Jabari, you know, who would be, do they like enough that they don't want to trade? And who would they be willing to part with?
So, you know, starting with the veterans, I don't think you can let go of Fred just yet because he's their best shooter and he's their best creator. Mm-hmm. He's their guy that gives them that structure, gives them that foundational base to execute offensively. Dylan, you know, is a great defender, great 3-and-D guy. I think this season defensively, he might have regressed from the days in Memphis. And if you can get Tari Eason back, if you can get Amen Thompson's spacing, you know, more efficient, that kind of lessens the need for a Dylan Brooks down the line, which is what I think this whole thing was for anyway. I think this thing was just always going to be a transitional period for these guys. But going toward the core six, I mean, the ranking changes all the time, right? Like, so I don't think you should move Alperen. I think he's probably the most important of all of them. Outside of that, you could fight all day. Like, there's some people that will say Amen is next on the list. There's some that will say Jalen. There was some that will say Jabari.
We heard the Knicks like Tari. Yeah. But how much do you value Tari as the Rockets?
That's a great question. So I think the thing with Tari is that analytically, you saw, and even like the eye test, you saw how he impacts the game. Like, not only defensively and his ability to fight for loose balls as an offensive rebounder, as a guy that's just going to be active in the passing lanes. He's also very good in transition. He's very good from the corners. He's a very good floor spacer. Now, this summer, he's been kind of adding to his game in terms of getting in the gym, expanding his range of ball, you know, with ball handling, dribbling, putting the ball on the floor, being able to be a more of a dynamic option as opposed to just a catch-and-shoot guy. I really think if Tari Eason can come back strong and come back to where he was prior to the injury, that might be more impactful than a lot of free agent potential signings or additions just because of how he impacts the game on both ends of the floor. So I do think that Tari is someone I would probably rank above Jabari, above Cam. I probably have him in that 2-3, 3-4 range.
Yeah. Tari's one of those guys that he has more value to the team that he's on than he does for a team that's trying to trade for him because he's that dog. He's that role player. I think he's more than a role player, but like you said, he does a lot of that stuff that's hidden in the box score, whether it's deflections, whether it's just a tip out and the guy hits an open three. He's a good enough 3-point shooter. I don't think he has tremendous value on the trade market, but I think he has tremendous value to the Rockets. Now, the Rockets, with all these young pieces, they have tough decisions to make, whether it's contracts to Alpi, Jalen, whether it's trading some of the core young players. Right. They have a lot of, you know, position battles too. Like you mentioned, Amen, who maybe he's more suited this year to take over for a Dylan Brooks as opposed to a Fred VanVleet, even though he's probably a long-term point guard. And now you get added to you get lucky in the lotto, and now you have this third pick. What are the chances they keep the third pick, and what are a few names you think they'll be targeting for the third pick?
I do think, well, I'll start by saying this. As a group, they haven't met as, because you know how every year they meet, they have a series of meetings to go over their big board and they'll have their arguments. They haven't met yet, and I think that has to do with, you know, the draft being a little bit later than we're traditionally used to. The combine was kind of earlier. I still think it's hard to get a trade done. Like, it's super hard. Like, you can talk all day, but the Rockets could have traded the pick in the last 3 years, and they never did. If it was just me, this is not reporting, this is just me, I think that they end up keeping it just because I don't think – I can't really see Cleveland saying, we're going to trade Donovan on draft night.
Yeah.
they seem pretty stubborn to me as a franchise. They're not going to just go down
with that coach too.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to do that this soon. So I do think that they end up keeping the pick personally. The names that I'm considering, I mean, I've gone back and forth with this over the past couple of weeks because, like, the changes every day.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite in the clubhouse right now is Stephon Castle. I just think that if you're going to bring in someone that's going back to your thing about the logjam, if he's not going to get a bunch of minutes anyway, you want to get the guy that has the most upside, who's versatile. And you can make an argument for Reed Sheppard.
I was just going to say, my question was going to be, Reed Sheppard seems to fill that need, but is you and I have talked about, Jeremy, is 3 too high?
I think 3 is too high for Reed. That's been my biggest thing.
My question with Reed is, does he fit into Ime's defensive philosophy?
Yes and no. I mean, he gambles a lot. Yeah. If you go back and watch his film, like, he has really good instincts. He gambled, but he gambles a ton. And the difference between him and a guy like Aaron Holiday is, Aaron Holiday is 6'3", but he has a 6'8" wingspan. Reed is a 6'2.5" wingspan. Hell of a shooter. He can put the ball on the floor. Fantastic offensive player. And he's still, you know, in college.
Jump out of the gym, too.
And he can jump out of the gym, too, which also lends to his able to contest some shots. But I think defensively, he has a lot of work to do in positioning, overall footwork, because, like, the vertical drill is one thing, but the side-to-side quickness is another thing. So I do think there are arguments for Reed, there are arguments for Castle, there are arguments for Klingon. Like, this stuff is a crapshoot at the end of the day.
Especially this year.
Especially this year. So I do think if I'm going off of what, going back to my thing about Ime, if I'm going back to the Ime thing, the options are, do you bring in a guy that's versatile and then go get a shooter like a Malik Beasley in free agency, or do you get the shooter now and go find the defensive versatility on the market? That's kind of how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, because to me, when you're looking at all these options that the team might have, do you want another young player? And then if you talk about some of the guys that you're talking about, well, what is Amen Thompson's true position? Is he a point? Is he a three? Is he he doesn't shoot well enough to be a two.
Yeah.
And because to me, I look at it and say their biggest weakness last year, no matter how good Fred shot the ball, if you tell me Fred's their best shooter, I think that's a problem. I think that they need to improve shooting.
Yeah. And that's why a lot of the Reed Sheppard stuff makes sense, because in 5 years, he might be one of the league's top five shooters. Like, you never know about this kind of stuff. And if there's a chance to go get that guy, you go get him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you know, who knows? Like everything, going back to the thing about Amen Thompson, I think last season he played 94% of his minutes either at the three or the two. And that's because, you know, Ime really likes Aaron Holiday. And also because whenever they put Amen in the dunker spot and around the rim, he was most effective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, like, he could be, you know, the quote-unquote lead ball handler of the future, but I still think his best role is as a secondary, super strong option that can create off of someone else's creation and get guys, you know, the ball in a pinch and still be athletic, still be defensively versatile. Doesn't have to be the backup point guard or the point guard of the future. I think that with the way the game is nowadays, those roles are changing. Like, the labels, they change every day. So I don't think he's being groomed as the quote-unquote point guard of the future. I think he's just being groomed as a basketball creator, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can see that too. Like, you see with the way that he, like, his role late in the year versus where he was early in the year. Far more off the ball. Kelly Eco joining us in studio. NBA Finals start Thursday. Incredible layoff because both series were very short. Boston the favorite. How do you see this thing playing out?
I think Boston in six. I think they just have too much shooting. You know, the way the game is played, that's a premium. And I think of their top eight guys in the rotation, like, all eight of them shoot at least 38% from three. That's a luxury that teams. I was looking at Houston's shooting breakdown this today. It was disgusting.
Like, just
trying to compare, like, the volume of threes and the efficiency. Like, you having Sam Hauser taking seven threes a game, shooting 44% from three. And I just think, like, when you go back to their two-way versatility, then bringing back Porzingis, who was going to play in game one, that changes everything for me.
Well, but Jeremy and I have gone back and forth on this. I think Dallas is the hot team, but this layoff kills them. And when you look at it from a Boston perspective defensively, if I can take my two best players and you can tell me that they don't have to defend their two best offensive players because White and Holiday can take Luka and Kyrie. Right. And there's no guarantee you slow them down. No guarantee you stop them. But at least, unlike Edwards, who ran out of juice, you got plenty of juice for Brown and Tatum.
Yeah, and Joel, I mean, you've been around the game long enough. You've seen what happens when teams have these huge layoffs and they have to come back and get revved up again, especially against a team that was the number one team in the NBA for the entire of the year. So Dallas has had a great run. I think that run ends in this NBA Finals.
Michael Finley's taking the beer away from Luka Doncic after clinching the Western
Conference. Was that because it wasn't
too?
The right logo?
I don't know.
Was it because it was beer?
Might have been
because I think from a sponsor element thing, you got to. I'm sure they have a beer sponsor that you're like, you don't want that.
That makes more sense.
Because the Pacers did that too after that one game.
Oh yeah, with the Prime bottle,
they pulled it off the table.
They had the whole. Yeah, I was trying to be subtle about it. Nothing subtle about that.
Yeah,
Kelly, always enjoy the conversation. I'm sure we'll be catching up this offseason. It's going to be very busy for the Houston Rockets and for you.
Yeah. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Thank you, brother. I always appreciate you coming in.
Kelly
Eco. Before we go to the break, Kelly Eco's out, and we got another half of the show to go, but we got to tell you about Bull Shirts, because Bull Shirts is a game changer. Bull Shirts, they've worked with the Rockets for years. They worked with the Astros. Yes, their name says shirts, but they do so much more. They do all the shirts, but they're all local, so they can do so many things for you, and they can get the job done right the first time, and when they don't, or if there's a mistake or a correction or something that needs to be done, you don't have to ship it back and wait for it to be shipped again and hope that it gets there by the deadline. They get it done, and they get it right to you, and they deliver it because they are in Houston. All you got to do is go to bull-shirts.com right now and see all the different things that they do. You need a tent for a tailgate party or a golf tournament? They got you. You need gift packs for a golf tournament or other things that you've got coming up and you want to take care of your clients? They got you. Yes, they start and do the best on t-shirts, but they also do so much more. The best way to start the process is if you got an event coming up and you know about it, start planning for it. Go to bull-shirts.com right now and have the experts get involved with you so that you get your stuff, get it done right, get it done at a quality that everybody's going to love, and get it done way in advance so that you make sure that you're ready to worry about the other things that come with planning an event. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you. Bye. I've been dealing with these guys forever, and they're great. Bull-shirts.com.